City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to Windy City Queer Cast, show number 162. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
It's good. I haven't seen you in forever.
I know. How is Rudolph the Red-Hosed Reindeer?
It is going swimmingly. We opened well. We've got, you know, it's a comedy, so you got to get your joke pacing and all that good stuff down.
Oh, my God. You're so damn cute in the little, I got the little email like, come see the play. That wasn't from you. That was actually from the company, you know. And there's Peter, like, just elfin magic. You're just cute as the Keebler, like a
and
gay Keebler in a tree.
Looks great. Great.
Your butt looks good. Your hair looks fabulous. Your eyelashes look long. Your cheekbones look like sunken. You look fierce, baby.
RickAguilarStudios.com, I believe, is the name of his site. He's just a brilliant photographer. He made me look like, it was like all like a glamour model shoot.
Yeah.
But it's super fun. And the show is super fun. I really, if you guys, you know, everybody loves to love Christmas, but I like to fucking hate Christmas.
Aww.
So, no, because it's so damn commercial.
It is. Kelly and I discussed this. Kelly and I were in an argument. Like, she gets so stressed out over the holidays, like buying everybody the right number of gifts and family and all that.
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God, I just can't go there. No. I just can't like be that. I just can't be that.
Because if I was, I would be all I would do from like October until January.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I would
buy you a few. I buy presents, but you know what? I love you 52
well,
weeks
you about
out of the
food
year.
Thing,
that's how
right?
I do. I know
that's
I've got to make you some
that's
food.
My, that's
I,
my
I was
my
just
deal.
Thinking that actually walking in here tonight. That
like, oh,
I'm hungry
I
and I'm
cook.
Still hungry and I got to cook for you, but not tonight. I baked a cake last week. It wasn't very good, but we all ate it.
But you baked a cake. That's awesome.
I did.
The thing is,
it was white trash cake though. It was like yellow cake, chocolate icing kind of.
That's okay.
I love it though.
And once you bake, now the next time you bake that cake, you'll say, oh, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I can do this. And then, you know, as you keep baking cakes, then it'll get better and better. The cakes will get better.
I like to eat cake. So every now and again, I got to buy it so I can eat it.
No, don't buy it. Make it.
No, I mean like, well, make it.
That's make it. Buy the stuff to make the cake. Because
that's what
if you make the cake and then you say, oh, now the cake is getting better. I wonder why. Because you've made the recipe like 10 times. That's
yeah.
why.
Yeah.
But did you buy like a box?
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. That's why I said it's white trash cake. But I like it. But I like that cake every now and again. I hadn't had it in like a year. And I just wanted Duncan Hines cake. There's something about Duncan Hines yellow cake that sometimes is satisfying.
It is. I'll show you how to make it in a bowl in 2 seconds.
Okay.
And it tastes better without
You'll
the box.
You'll show me. Hey, you know, I was over at our...
Add egg oil and milk.
Yeah, exactly. I was over doing an interview over at Steppenwolf earlier this week. You know, we had like the ice storm and the weather has all happened and all that kind of stuff. But I was doing an interview, which people will hear probably next week, I think. And ended up having a really fantastic interview with this person. I don't even really want to tip off who it is. But anyhow.
Oh my God, she's
fantastic.
So secretive.
I am so secretive. But, and I was in a room that was kind of a glass room where they let us go in and record. And as I was coming out, this gentleman walked up behind me and said, are you Amy Matheny? And I was like, and I was like, I am. And he was like, hi, my name's Michael. And I moved here from Atlanta. And before I moved here, just really like the thing that helped me acclimate and move up here was I started listening to the podcast and I listened to you all the time. And it was so funny because hey, Michael. And it's so funny because I know so many different types of I can wear so many different hats in the Steppenwolf office. Like I know the marketing people, I know the PR people, I know the casting director who cast me in Apple and Execution of Justice. And so Erica, the casting director there, walked over while I was talking to Michael and she's like, yes, I know you have a fan. He was like looking at you through the through the glass and like heard your voice and like knew you from your voice, like not from the way I looked. So Michael, I promised you a shout out and this is it. And I love bumping into people that
And welcome
watch our
to
show.
Chicago.
Welcome to the greatest city to live in.
Oh my God. You still have to send us an email if you haven't eaten every kind of food yet since you've been here because I'll just tell you all the places you need to go.
Podcast at windycitymediagroup.com. Peter will meet you there.
You'll buy me dinner.
There you go.
And you're cute. No, I'm kidding.
It's very cute. But it was very, very fun. So I love it for people to come up to us. And I'm glad that there's never any hesitation to do that because we're accessible people, right?
I think we're approachable,
right?
Accessible.
Ooh, I just totally bounced my mic. That's okay. My mic filter.
She was having an intimate moment with her windscreen right there.
I just bummed it.
You see what you did to her, Michael?
I did.
You got her all flustered.
I love that people in Atlanta are listening to us.
That's
Hotlanta.
Hotlanta.
I like it.
Where the drag queens know how to
Do drag. Michael, you're too young, but I used to go to Backstreet all the time, and I used to go to Velvet, and I used to go to all the clubs down there. My favorite drag queen was Raven from
Raven. She was Backstreet. Just one name.
She looked like Barbie. She was fabulous. She was fierce. She came out. One of the earliest drag shows I ever saw was Raven, and she was kind of evocative of a Mimi Marks, you know, I mean, really pretty blonde Barbie looking. And she came out.
Let's be real, fishy. I mean, come on, that's the adjective we use.
Oh, just gorgeous. And looked like a girl. Fishy. Looked like, way like a girl. And walked out in this cape that was closed, and she opened the cape up, and like, this is my recollection. I could have been drunk.
Could have been a lie.
But my recollection is that she walked out in a cape, and it was so fabulous. She opened up the cape, and it had the freedom flag inside of it, and underneath she was dressed like Wonder Woman. And that's what I remember.
Oh,
now,
wow.
I could have been high or drunk or just youthful and impressionable, and that's the way the story is still in my head. But it did happen, and it was at Backstreet. And I mean, you'd arrive at Backstreet at 12 and 12:30, and it was crickets. And by 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. when I'm walking out, people are walking in.
Yay.
So it's one of those kind of bars.
Good times. Well, you know, I have to tell you, I just heard something so delightful today, and it just made my day.
Ooh, juicy? What?
It is. It's good. So I am a huge fan of the movie Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh, yeah.
It's
God,
just,
I haven't seen that in a long, long time.
It's just brilliant. I just watched it the other night with some
friends.
We were hanging out here.
That?
Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, but the mom.
Ellen Barkin.
Ellen Barkin.
And then her friend is, of course, Allison Janney.
Who we love from The Hours in West Wing.
And West
played
Wing.
Played Lesbo with Meryl Streep.
And who is going to do the lead in 9 to 5, the musical.
You mean she's playing like Jane Fonda?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't even know there was a 9 to 5, the musical, number one.
Steven Rader and I talked about it on our podcast.
See,
or maybe we talked about it before we recorded. I can't remember, but
did I listen to that show?
You have to catch up. Steven's so super, uber excited about the 9 to 5, the musical,
but
being
here's
the big
what I'm
Dolly
thinking.
Parton fan that he is.
It's going to open in L.A. first. It's going to open a pre-Broadway in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we need to go out to L.A. to see
it. Oh, we do.
Maybe we need to have like a couple of days and just go out there.
Find Nikki and Carol.
Yeah. We hang
out.
Wave. Hey. Say hey. Hey, Nikki. Hey, Carol.
I got to get an interview with Allison Janney. I got to make that happen.
I know.
Because
her
character
of Loretta.
Oh, yeah. That's what I feel.
Her character of Loretta. I mean, love that she is everything. She is dramatic. She is hysterical. She's just got that whole range of everything.
She could be playing the Lily Tomlin part, too, though. I almost see her playing the Lily Tomlin part.
I don't know. I thought she was going to be Jane Fonda, but maybe.
Jane Fonda was more ditzy in that episode.
But she's good at all. She's good at all of it.
Yeah, but
there's
she's really
she
good
do.
At like that caustic kind of sass stuff too. Although she does,
she was Loretta in
true.
You know,
she's so talented. That's fantastic.
Isn't that great? It was such a
because she doesn't need the money
thing.
Anymore because West Wing's running in syndication for forever. So.
She's getting residuals left, right, up, down,
and
center.
She's totally good. Speaking of that, the strike in LA is showing no sign of slowing
down. No, but on the other coast, it's all good.
But in New York, the stagehands are now back to pulling backdrops for Legally Blonde.
So, if you want to go back to New York, now is the time to go and see your shows and see your stories and everything. But the interesting thing I was reading, because, you know, now every week I'm checking in and most people online are doing recaps. Most of the major publications like the LA Times are doing an online recap of the week in the strike, what happened.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
It's not going to happen. You remember Jamie Babbitt said it's going to take a while.
Some people are talking March.
Oh, I believe it.
And that's what. Okay, Leno's down for the count now. Leno's in reruns.
Yeah, we have
Conan's.
Been.
Conan's.
Letterman is too. I saw a Leno the other night with Tom Hanks promoting A League of Their Own.
Oh!
Was that funny?
Wow.
Somebody called us, you know, because Kelly was in the film, and somebody called us and said, "Hey, Tom Hanks is on. They're showing footage," and we were like, "Oh my god!" We turned it on.
Wow.
And he was.
And
so
Leno had color in his hair.
Young. And Leno had dark hair, and we were like, "Oh my god!" Which is kind of fun. I have to say, the nostalgia of looking back. And some of the old episodes is fun. Letterman was just playing recent back, but
Well, yeah. Thank God America's Next Top Model is not affected, because that's all I'm
watching. No, and either is Project Runway, which we've been watching. So.
Is it? Now I've heard that some of the reality shows have a big writing staff. So if they didn't finish the season,
but
they might have a problem.
Most of them did finish the season. Okay, yeah, I mean, there's some good shows. If you're around for the final season of ER, we've got a lot of those in the can, which is really proving good to be a fantastic year this year. Yeah, really such a great year. Project Runway is definitely all in the can because they filmed that in the summer. Right. So that's all done.
But it means like
there's
I'll
a
be
lot
able
of
get...
shows. There's a lot of shows. I mean,
like Pushing Daisies, I'll be able to catch up on it. Desperate Housewives, I'll be able to catch up on because I have not watched anything.
Really the time to be able to start downloading television shows you haven't watched or going out and getting the DVDs and getting caught up.
Here's an interesting little tidbit. You can no longer get any NBC programs on iTunes. They're completely gone now. They're completely gone. They've moved to Hulu. It's a service, and it has a lot of restrictions to it. It's not like buy it, download it, it's yours. But yeah, that's a pretty big move.
Well, then it's the time to go get the box sets. You know, absolutely. I have not watched Battlestar Galactica. I'm saying it here on the air. And I definitely want to.
Because you're
watch
bitter
it.
She didn't let you backstage. No.
Yeah, I'm bitter that Lucy Lawless didn't let me backstage. But no,
let you backstage.
I've got season one, which was given to me as a gift last year. Lucy, can you see me? So, you know, a good time to watch that. If people haven't seen Rome 1 or 2, I would highly recommend. I have friends who, actually, this person that I was just interviewing, who is a writer, so we talk about the strike. He said,
it's a he, folks.
It's more chips.
Giving away
Steppenwolf and a writer, go figure. Just go Google Steppenwolf, you'll know who it is. But anyhow, he said we were talking about television shows that he likes, and he said, "Oh, I've just started watching Dexter," and I'm like, "Oh, so you got to watch the whole thing?" Like,
so he'll be able to
really
get through. It's 2 seasons.
Yeah,
two seasons. They have. Yeah. Okay, good. So I have to catch up on all that. So I'll have time to catch it all up. You know, my show's open now. It's smooth moving from here on out.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that.
Enjoying the year. Hey, you know, today what we're doing is we're really looking at what's going on in the stars and maybe some that's having something to do with the strikes and everything that's going on. I don't know. There's somebody who can tell us, though, what is the push and pull of the stars and the universe. That's Neil Paris from New World Astrology. Neil's here, and he also is here to do some readings for some of our listeners. And so I do say that if you listen to our show, Neil will be back on probably in a couple of months. And if you'd like to have him read for you, all you have to do is send us an email at podcast@windycitymediagroup.com. That's podcast@windycitymediagroup.com. And we'll hold on to that for the next time when he's there. And we'll even try to let you know when that show's coming up, so you can definitely download that show and let your friends know. So Neil Paris on the show, lots of news, telling you what's going on in the theater. It's a big season to go see shows. It's the time. And because Chicago, we're not having a strike.
No,
we play well with others
not.
Right now.
We do.
So we'll be back after this.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular. I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of November 26, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Don't miss the musical event of the season, Ella, playing at North Light Theater through January the 6th. Set your feet tapping with Ella, the swinging new musical about jazz legend Ella Fitzgerald, featuring memories from her extraordinary life and more than 20 of her greatest hits. For information or to purchase tickets to Ella, visit northlight.org.
Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about 5 small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. The Tribune says this production is brilliant. You'll laugh your socks off. Altar Boys is playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
It's a new blue holiday tradition with the diva extraordinaire Amy Armstrong returning with Freddie Allen on piano in How the Diva Stole Christmas 2, Electric Boogaloo, to the Lakeshore Theater at the corner of Broadway and Belmont. How the Diva Stole Christmas 2 is for 7 performances only, December 7th through 23rd. Tickets are only $25. Call 773-472-3492 or visit lakeshoretheater.com.
4-time Tony Award nominated actress Tova Feldshuh plays the legendary Katharine Hepburn in the Chicago premiere of Tea at 5. Playing December 19th through the 23rd only at the North Shore Center for the Performing Arts with a special gay night, December 20th, where you can meet Tova after the show. Mm. For tickets to Tea at 5, call 847-673-6300 or order online at northshorecenter.org.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Philip Barry's sparkling comedy of manners, The Philadelphia Story. Don't miss this staging of the beloved Katharine Hepburn classic, The Philadelphia Story, playing now through January 6th at Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets or info, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Are you depressed, repressed, undressed? Well, Court Theater has the cure. They will have you feeling better in no time with gay playwright Joe Orton's sexy and ferociously playful farce, What the Butler Saw. Sean Graney directs the provocative comedy, now playing through December 9th only, so get your tickets to What the Butler Saw. Just visit courttheater.org.
For more Culture Club, visit windycitytimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Your amazing skills of deception can trick a deer into thinking we're just a tree out for a walk. Or a shrub having a cup of coffee.
Shrub having a coffee.
Tirelessly you perfect your artistry. The squiggly black line, the blob, the slightly larger blob. All in spectacular shades of green.
Green, green, and green.
Thanks to you, we look fabulous in or out of the forest. With a suit that can be easily accessorized with face paint and a few twigs.
Dressed to kill.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker. Because when it comes to blending in, you really stand out.
Mr. Camouflage Suitmaker.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
A recent Hunter College poll found that among the queer community, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton is the overwhelming favorite for the 2008 presidential election. The survey found that 63% of the GLBT people would likely vote for Clinton in the Democratic primaries, followed by Senator Barack Obama at 22%. Also, the study found that coming out leads to more political involvement.
Nicaragua recently rewrote its penal code, leaving out its sodomy ban. There are still a handful of nations in Central America that still have sodomy laws, but Nicaragua's move is a large step forward for the area.
In the UK, Labour Party councillor Miranda Grell resigned before an internal investigation against her could take place. Grell was recently convicted of falsely branding a gay political opponent. She was convicted for using a slur suggesting that a Liberal Democrat councillor is a pedophile.
The FBI recently reported an 8% increase in hate crimes in 2006. The FBI also reported that hate crimes based on sexual orientation are the third most common. Hate crimes based on race are the most common, followed by religion. 16% of all hate crimes in 2006 were based on sexual orientation, up from 14% in 2005.
Lesbian author Jane Rule, age 76, recently passed away due to complications from liver cancer. Rule was the author of Desert of the Heart, Outlander, This Is Not For You, Memory Board, and more. Desert of the Heart was adapted into the 1985 movie Desert Hearts.
A federal judge recently ruled that a transgender veteran's sex discrimination lawsuit against the Library of Congress can go forward, which brought the lawsuit on behalf of Diane Schroer in 2005. The Library of Congress allegedly offered Schroer a job as a senior terrorism researcher, then rescinded the offer after she revealed that she was in the process of transitioning.
After calling The Bachelor, Brad Womack, a jerk on a recent episode of her show, lesbian talk show host Ellen DeGeneres met with Womack face-to-face on her show to apologize. During the season finale of The Bachelor, Womack surprised viewers when he revealed to contestants Deanna Pappas and Jenny Croft that he would not choose either of them. After sharing his side of the story, DeGeneres told Womack she was sorry for for judging him.
Oh, Ellen, talking before you're thinking. During a BBC interview, actor Brad Pitt revealed that he will no longer do nude scenes on the big screen because he doesn't want to be embarrassed when his children are old enough to watch his movies. Pitt doesn't show skin often in film, but his most famous nude scene was during Thelma and Louise.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Hi, this is Lucas from The Clicks, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
It's a big gay contest, and you could win. All you have to do is enter. Top prize, American Airline tickets for two, good for travel in the U.S. 48, Bermuda, Bahamas, Mexico, Canada, or the Caribbean. Second prize, VIP theater package to Altar Boys with t-shirts and a meet and greet for you and three friends. And third place, a CD extravaganza of great recording artists. To enter, just email promotions@windycitymediagroup.com and list your top three gay entertainers of all time and include your name and phone number. In the subject of the email, put the word contest. That's it. Join our year-end big gay contest. You might be a winner.
Drawing to be held January 1st, 2008 by random drawing. Winners will be notified. Well, everybody, you heard him on the radio with us so long ago when we were still in, when we were still old media. But now that we're new media, he's joined us a couple of times now on the program, right? A couple of times on the podcast.
We couldn't go long without Neil.
No, we need Neil
His
Paris in our life.
Accent. I love it.
Neil Paris of NewWorldAstrology.com is joining us, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the stars and in the heavens and all that good stuff. Neil, how are you doing?
We are multimedia, the age of Aquarius.
We are the age of Aquarius, the dawning of it
everywhere.
All. We are everywhere.
Yes.
Did you have a chance to celebrate Thanksgiving?
I did, yes. Even though I'm from England, I always have any chance to have a party. Come on. Food and drink and good times. Yes, please.
Yeah. For me, it's about turkey and stuffing. That's it.
I'll make no jokes there.
No.
We call it dressing in my house.
But yeah. Do not talk about my turkey's cavity. That's all you can't do.
I love so many of my friends stuffed their turkey for the first time this year. Here we go with the jokes. But they forgot to take out the bag of
You don't stuff it. Pieces. It's not good to stuff it. You just make stuffing on the side.
Stuff it. All right.
Yeah.
That's a swear word in the UK, I think.
I don't know.
Yes, it is.
You can't really say that on television, can you? Get stuffed!
It's just not proper.
It's not proper. Say. What does it mean?
It's not
like,
proper. Get
fuck
stuffed.
You or...
No, yeah, like... Get screw off or something like that.
Screw you.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Exactly.
All right. So on to more positive. So what's going on in the stars? Are we out of the retrograde? Did we finish all this? Please tell me we did.
Well, yes, but we were under I think Mercury retrograde when we were talking last, but now we're under Mars retrograde.
Ooh,
so another surprise for you there.
It's an angry planet, right, Mars?
Yes, you guys know your stuff. As we go through, you're going to start learning a lot, aren't you? You guys know Mars is about anger and aggression. It's also about sex. It's about where you're putting your energy. And because it's retrograde, a lot of sexual frustration flying around.
Oh,
when is there not, right?
So in a Mars retrograde, then when it's not, I mean, are you just having lots of sex when it's going the right way around? How does that work?
When the planet's going retrograde, it just slows the energy down and it goes inside more. So Mars is about speed and action and impatience. And when it's retrograde, you've got to slow down because that's when you're going to run into more accidents. People get fired up. People's tempers are kind of a little bit, you know, iffy right now. So it's basically just kind of, it's putting the brakes on for everyone.
Mm. Is this why we're all nutty during the holidays? At least in the States we are.
I know. Well, this goes through until the end of January, so pace yourself.
Oh, my God.
This
is the crazy shopping and stuff. You know, people are agitated and
year-end
and, ugh.
If you're faced with someone who's angry and irritable, if you get angry back, it's just not going to make it any better. The best thing to do is to be the bigger guy in the situation and just to kind of slow down and go somewhere else. If you find yourself stressed or stuck in any way, keep moving and try something different. Don't keep hitting your head against the wall. It's too easy to do that, basically.
Yeah, it is. I'm good for that sometimes. So we've got that. Now tell me there's some positives in the heavens, though.
Yes. We've got some good stuff. December's packed. There's a lot of stuff going on in December. We've got a new moon coming up, which is always a good thing. New beginnings, launching new projects. You can do new things, try new things. That's on December 9th. Mm-hmm. And the day after is a massive, massive planetary alignment. We have Jupiter, a planet of expansion, growth, and big things. And it's meeting Pluto, the planet that relates to obsession, focus, intensity, passion. So basically, basically two major, major energies are coming together, which is on the positive side, it basically gives you a new perspective. There'll be a massive change in one area of your life moving into next year, and we can look at that in the charts. Mm. And the flip side is you can get a little bit too overboard with something, a little bit too obsessive. So it's really good for taking life in a whole new direction, but you can take it a little bit too crazy, a little bit too far. So it's kind of a balancing act. But if you're sick of something in your life and it really needs to change, and you're sitting around thinking, when is this going to shift?
So when an alignment happens, is it all like synergetic? Do all the Mars and all the stuff gets bigger and better, or it's just more intense? Or what's significant about an alignment?
Well, these two, each planet has a different energy. So you have this alignment has Jupiter and Pluto. Jupiter expands whatever it touches. It makes it a bigger deal. Jupiter's about size. And when it hits Pluto, Pluto is the planet that relates to the depth of something. It relates to intensity and things that are hidden. So when Jupiter meets Pluto, it expands all that stuff. So all the things that are kind of secret, all the things you really, really want, but you don't really want to talk about, or you feel like you're not getting, all that comes out. So you know exactly where you stand, you know exactly what you want, and you get a choice to totally go for it. So December is one of those months where you can't really ignore the writing on the wall. You know what you want. Will you go for it? Because it's going to become a big, big deal in December. It's exciting.
Excellent.
Well, let's look into some of the people who emailed in and wanted to be read by you. We have Terry W., who was born in Springfield, Ohio on February the 7th in 1966 at 11:59 p.m., way right before noon.
Wow.
And really, Terry was mostly...
Not right before noon, right before the next day.
Right before the next day. Right, oh, that's right. Day. Almost the next day.
He kept his mama up so late.
He did, and said, no, I'm going to be born on the 7th. So what do you see? Terry is interested in love life and relationships.
Interesting. Terry was born when Venus, the planet of relationships and love, was retrograde. All this retrograde stuff.
Ooh.
Now, what that can signify is it can signify in this lifetime you're repeating old relationships, which means that most people that Terry is going to meet are going to be karmic relationships, past life ones, people you've known before. So it's interesting. Mm. So, and it can involve a lot of those old patterns. So if something comes back and you think, oh man, I thought I dealt with that in relationships. It's okay. It's perfect. This is the lifetime to clear that. Let it all go. Don't repeat those patterns. So depending on, I think you sent me information saying that Terry met someone 3 or 4 months ago. Is that right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Now that's interesting because that's when Venus was retrograde last. So depending on when that was, again, that fits the pattern, Terry's pattern, which is Venus retrograde, old relationships coming back. So it could be on-off relationships, it could be old flames. If it's someone new, there'll be a resemblance of something from the past, or it could be someone known in a past lifetime. So it's kind of an exciting time. So in some ways, Terry's kind of scheduled to meet people. There's no choice in the matter. It's these old soulmates coming back. It's basically what material they get to deal with. So if there's an old pattern, it's a choice now and a chance to actually break those old patterns and enjoy a better relating, you know? So it's kind of exciting.
Wow, oh, that's good for him.
The cycles of relationships.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do it at the beginning.
Yeah.
All right, so we have another person to read. This one not from the United States. We have listeners all around the world,
I love
Peter.
That.
We have Deb. Her birthday is June 3rd, 1969. She was born at 2:35 a.m.
Keeping mom up again.
Again, in London, Ontario. One of our favorite. Yeah. Well, we like.
It's close.
Like, yeah, close.
Toronto. London.
Gemini twins. What do you guys know about Geminis?
Gemini, I get along well with them because I'm an Aquarius and it's wonderful because every time I've dated them, it's like having two boyfriends. I'm busy and active and that keeps them engaged, but they also hate that I'm so busy and active and always engaged. So it's this weird duality, but it's always good because I think Geminis are, they're kind of headstrong in the right direction when it comes to feelings.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're very conversational, the sign of communications, very chatty. So they're great. I've always find Geminis the best conversationalist. You always have some amazing story coming out of their mouths.
Yeah, a bottle of red wine and a Gemini and you're set for the night.
Well, Deb, bring a bottle over. So what are you seeing for Deb?
So Deb's interesting. She has 4 placements in Virgo. Virgo is the sign that relates to work, details, efficiency, organization. She's great at that stuff. But this is the lifetime, Deb, where you're actually meant to be more kind of go with the flow. So it's kind of similar to your chart, Amy. She's meant to kind of be on cruise control a little bit more, a little bit more magic in her life. And right now, her 9th house is activated. The 9th house, there's 12 houses of our chart. The 9th house is the house of adventure, the house of knowledge, travel, education, information, knocking down the walls, and getting the heck out. So Deb, get on a horse, get in the car, get on your feet. Get out the house. Go and do something new.
Take a horse from London, Ontario to Chicago.
Just get the hell out of Dodge, as we say, in the month of December.
Yes. It's a good time for an adventure. It's time to try something totally different, Deb. Get out the box and just go and have an adventure.
Excellent. Well, now we also have a new fan from the Windy City Queer Cast, Michael V. Michael was born January 1, a New Year's baby.
New Year's baby.
1985, the bitch. So young.
Jealousy.
Atlanta, Georgia. Good southern boy like I am. 12:15 p.m.
Oh, they were done in time for dinner. That's
right, good. In the middle of the day. Smack dab in the middle for lunch.
For lunch.
Making them all have some sweet tea right after she gave birth to that kid. What do you see for Michael?
Let's have a look. Just pulling his up quickly. So he is a Capricorn.
Yes. I like Capricorns. Most of my really good friends are Capricorns.
I don't know much about Capricorns.
I just know they're very loyal and very dependable. And
yes, and very grounded. It's nice to have a great sense of humor, very funny sense of humor. But also, Capricorn's actually the sign of reverse aging. They always seem to start off old. Like when they're younger, they have a lot of responsibility. They seem to be like the parents of the family in some kind of way. There's always something heaped on them that kind of kids probably shouldn't have to deal with. But as they get old, they get younger, which is really cool. So
yeah, that would be true for the few that I'm thinking of.
How can I change my sign? I want to get
out. I know. Seriously, young, if you're, yeah, Capricorn's out there, the older you get, the younger you get, and you can have the last laugh on all those other signs that had more of a childhood than you did. How about that? Wow.
That's lovely.
So interesting. So, Michael, so he has actually a Taurus moon, which makes him, he has a lot of earth in his chart, but he has Aries rising, which kind of throws the chart off, which makes him much more fiery, much more aggressive than normally Capricorns would be. Great for business, great for being self-employed, great for doing his own thing, going his own way. And what's going on for him right now? Actually, it's kind of like a time to switch off and tune out, be a little bit more kind of dreamlike, which is probably needs that from being so work-oriented. It's a time to kind of zone out, listen to music, maybe get some more inspiration, whatever that means for you. Take more time alone. So get off the work vibe too much. Capricorns can be a little bit too work-oriented, status-oriented, always climbing the way to the top somehow, always finding an obstacle to encounter, to climb over. It's time to chill out and go with the flow and actually just relax. So whatever it is, it's time to get more inspiration and not focus on the physical world so much, on the material.
Perfect for the holidays too. Perfect for
exactly.
The holidays.
Absolutely.
To relax into it. So I have a question. At the turn of the year, for you, significantly, what during the turn of the year is important to you, like spiritually, and what should we do? What are some good tips for, okay, the year is changing. How should we look for it? Is there something specific in the stars that says, okay, the turn of this year is going to be like this, or are there generalities that are always good to do around the turn of the year?
Well, it's funny because if you look at different religions, which, you know, doesn't necessarily connect with astrology because it kind of encompasses everything. The lot of people who are important characters or figures in these mythologies always were born around that December point, because that was the time when it was the darkest point before the dawn. And that's when the sun came back again. The sun was kind of reborn again. So this is the kind of time when you move into that winter phase. So astrologically, the new year kind of starts in spring, when it's kind of like the, you know, the Aries lamb. It's the springtime energy. It's rebirth. So when people have all these, you know, I'm going to try and do this in 2008, and I'm going to try and do that, it's really hard because you're kind of in the winter kind of phase when a lot of things are kind of dying off. Your old way of life is dying off. So the new year technically doesn't really start until April. So that's a good kind of thing to think about, is if you're moving into the next year, it changes numerologically. We move into a different number year, but we move into that new springtime energy and have a lot of fresh vibes by then. So it's really kind of a bit of a downtime when we switch years. That's why it can be a little bit sad. We move through Sagittarius into Capricorn. Capricorn's a more of a serious, somber sign at times. It's time to kind of ground yourself more, kind of like hibernate a little bit more. People go inside themselves. It really just fits the weather, you know?
Yeah. No, it's totally true, because you always feel like you're just have this burst of energy. And at least if you're living in a colder climate, you're like sludging through snow. So that's metaphorically, the way I always feel in January and even December, of just like, I am trying to feel the energy. And then spring is exactly that. You put spring in your step, you feel more rejuvenated and new kind of possibilities.
Capricorn is the sign of the goat, is in many ways connects with the mythology figure Pan, who, you know, used to kind of be the figure of enjoying and dancing and having fun out in the forests and orgies of music and wine. And, yes, exactly. So really, the way I see that is Capricorn can also be very, very earthy and physical. And that's where it's the kind of the status of buying expensive things. And that's one way that people can express in the holidays. But the other nice side is just enjoying the simple pleasures of nature, enjoying our bodies, enjoying nice food, enjoying nice company. So really, really just comes down to the simple things and just enjoying humor. People can get a little bit too serious around the holiday times as the year changes. They look back and think, oh my God, what did I do with myself this year? But we're always growing. The obstacles and the challenges are the things that really shape us in many ways. So Capricorn says, give yourself a pat on the back for just getting through the year, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have another Capricorn, Kelly, born in Evansville, Indiana on January 7th, 1971 at 1:15 p.m. Is
kind
also
lunchtime
also,
baby.
Yes, lunchtime baby. Is another Capricorn. So we have a lot of Capricorn listeners, yeah. Obviously. The serious, getting younger people.
You know, I will say too as well, it's funny, the Capricorns are checking in for readings right now because Capricorn will be moving on December 19th. Jupiter, the planet Jupiter, will be moving into Capricorn after being in the sign of Sagittarius for 2 years. So basically, Jupiter will move in, actually for 1 year. Jupiter stays in the sign for 1 year. It'll move into Capricorn in December, on December 19th. It'll be there for a whole year. And when Jupiter's in your sign, Capricorn, your life expands. It grows. It becomes more fun. You have more adventures, like we were saying earlier. It's the sign that connects to, it's the planet that connects to the ninth house. So when Jupiter is in your sign, which it is for Capricorns, you get a chance to have a lot more fun in your life. And Capricorns really need that. They can get a little bit too serious, like we said. So all the Capricorns out there, Kelly included, as you move into next year, Jupiter is going to open up a lot of doors for you, a lot of new opportunities coming. If a door opens, walk through it. Don't sit and do the Capricorn thing thinking, well, is it practical? Is it going to really help me with my career? Am I going to be able to have more security? No, go for it. Jump on the wave, you know?
Get out of your head and walk through the door.
Yes. So she's got a lot of financial things kind of going on right now. A lot of those big questions of, shall I keep it? Shall I toss it? So it's going to help when she moves into next year because she'll just be a little bit more bouncy, a little bit more free. And she's going to have a lot more communication. She's going to become a very powerful communicator. A lot of things she's been thinking about that she hasn't communicated about. As this year ends into 2008, Kelly, your mouth is going to become much more intense. You're going to be much more communicative than normal. So it'll be very interesting seeing what you have to say as we move into next year.
And is we'll do one more reading, and that's Stephen, who's January 22nd. Is that still Capricorn on in 1970, 8 p.m. Knoxville, Tennessee? Another Southerner.
Yep.
I think January 22nd. Well, is it on the cusp?
I'm always confused when you get to the dates on either side of it. Does it matter the time of day or?
It can really depend on the year, so we'll go through this now. Because there's no such thing as a cusp, really. It really depends on the year, because the cycles can shift. So we'll go through this quickly. What was the time on...
8 p.m.
At 8 p.m. And what was the city and state one more time?
In Knoxville, Tennessee.
Oh, yes. Okay. Let's pull this up. Let's have a look. There we go. Stephen, I have you. Stephen's sitting, tapping his fingers, saying, wait.
Come on.
Okay, let's have a look, Stephen. Let's have a look at your chart. So Stephen is an Aquarius.
Yes, he is.
So just in 2 degrees, there's 30 degrees for every sign. He's 2 degrees. So basically there's no such thing as a cusp. For anyone who wonders about that is if you're borderline, find an astrologer. It's best to find out for sure because you're definitely one or the other, but you might have planets in other signs. Like he has his Mercury in Capricorn. So he communicates like a Capricorn. Mercury's communication. That's how our charts are built up. He has his Mars, the way he expresses his energy in Pisces. So he has that more of that gentle kind of side to him too as well. So he's a kind of crazy Aquarius communicating like a Capricorn. That's how we have all these layers and all these contradictions to our personalities. So beautiful, beautiful. Stephen was born with the sun touching Venus, the planet of beauty, the planet of artistry, artistic connections, and create. He's here to basically kind of create and be beautiful. So whatever Stephen is touching in his life, he's here to kind of be a beautifier on the planet. He embodies Venus, the goddess of beauty. So that's beautiful to have that.
Mm. Wow. He touches me often, no? Well,
with that combination, that would be very lucky. He's very, very sexy. There's something that's very alluring and receptive. Stephen will get by in his life by radiating energy that kind of absorbs people and brings people to him. He doesn't need to be a dynamic person. He'll get a lot more in his life done by letting people come to him and help him out. So actually, he's had a lot of change on the home front. His seems to be about home and family right now. He's trying to release a lot of things from the past. And it's December and January, kind of as he moves into December and moves into 2008, there's a lot of this kind of like a parting of the ways going to happen. There's a chapter shift. So basically, a lot of that stuff that he's kind of carried with him. It's one of those kind of like cutting things off, moving into a new phase of his life. It's a major chapter ending. And it could be time to move physically. That could be a manifestation of his changes. He's not really comfortable exactly where he's at. So he might either beautify his place, change his home location, you know, move in with someone, move out from someone, decide to get a bigger space, or just renovate or something like that too. And a lot of resolving of old tensions and dramas in the family too as well. So
God.
So we're heading out of 2008 and we're heading into all of this Jupiter expansion.
Heading out Pluto, of 07. Heading out of 07.
07 into 08. Sorry. Jupiter expanding, Pluto obsessive and passionate. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say to us as we do head into the new year?
The Yule.
Well, we're going to be leaving a major period. When we get to February in 2008, Pluto has been having this massive, massive journey through Sagittarius. It's changed air travel. It's changed how we connect with other cultures. When Pluto moves into Capricorn, which Capricorns are having a lot of energy, basically, when we move into 2008, when Pluto digs things up wherever it is. It digs things up that need to be resolved, that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be healed. That's the obsessive energy. Pluto will move into Capricorn in 2008 in February. Capricorn relates to government. It relates to big business. And it relates to the hierarchy. When Pluto moves into that, we're going to see a lot of shifts, and we can talk about that in 2008. A lot of moves for control, a lot of further government issues to pushes to try and control the citizens of the world. There's going to be more pushes for power, the global elite, as it were. There's going to be the biggest mergers we've ever seen between companies that you wouldn't ever think would combine and merge together. There's going to be massive connections of power that will, you know, become even bigger. But the great thing about Pluto is it will expose the shadow side of things. So all that stuff that's been happening that's not for the people is going to start coming up in a really, really big way. So we ain't seen nothing yet, but it's going to be a great, great time to cleanse all of that. So basically anybody that's in a position of power who's not there for the people, helping people out, whether it's a parent who's not being very nice to the kids, or whether it's a government not being nice to the people, it's all going to come up to the surface to be cleansed. So it's an amazing time. 2007 really will be the end of an era. 2008 kicks off this whole new cycle, but it's going to help us really focus on what we really, really want. And Pluto will say, you've got to be there for everybody else. We're all connected, and you need to treat people the way you want to be treated, because it's going to start coming back and hitting you faster. So if you're on the good side of the karma, fantastic. If you're not, you'll get a bit of a slap.
Look at that. And we didn't even want to say Pluto was a planet. So it's so good that we didn't.
Oh, you know, yes. You might say that.
Pluto out.
Anybody who knows astrology and anybody who's felt a Pluto transit, and a lot of these people who actually have checked in today for readings are going through Pluto transits, they really know the power of that energy, is that we really are affected by it. So we can call it what we want. We can say it's been demoted, but Pluto, when it moves into Capricorn, we will see these things manifest and we will get to feel the power of that. So it's fantastic for really clearing the air and paving the way for a whole new era, which we really need.
Well, one of the things I would like to tell people, and I mean, this is not really just a shameless plug, but I have had Neil do my chart, and he has done readings for me, not only on the air, but off the air. You know, it's a really great gift if you're still looking for a gift idea, to check out Neil's site at newworldastrology.com. And because it's a really unique thing for the person who has everything, the person that, you know, the GLBT person, or he doesn't have to be a gay person, obviously. Neil can read anybody.
Right. Give the experience
to them. And it really is a beautiful and wonderful and very personal gift. So I encourage people to go to newworldastrology.com. And check out Neil, and you can read their daily, what your daily readings, and as well for free. And we hope that Neil, you'll come back and join with us at the beginning of the year, at the advent of the year, so we can look at this exciting energy coming up in February with Pluto.
Yes, I am. Get ready. This is just, I think, you know, right now as we move from 2007 to 2008, have as much fun as you can. We're all so serious. We all want to grow. We all want to shed skins and keep moving and evolving. But basically just enjoy yourself. This is what this season's all about right now, is enjoy what you have. Enjoy what you don't have. Enjoy the people who are around you, the people who aren't around you anymore, but who made you who you are today. Just enjoy it all. It's this crazy adventure. We're all in it together. And basically bring more humor in. We're in Sagittarius right now, the sign that relates to humor, travel, fun. Let your hair down and just exhale and breathe your way through the holiday season, okay? It doesn't need to be serious.
There you go. Well, keeping it light, Neil Paris. Neil, thank you. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. We'll catch you soon, okay?
All right. Check out newworldastrology.com. We'll have that linked on our site. Mm-hmm.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
the best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show, and Limelight.